141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about drinking during the holiday season. And what's the difference between having one or two too many and signs of alcoholism? My guests are Dr. Constance Scharf. She is Director of Addiction Research at Cliffside Malibu. And Daryl Wright, a recovering alcoholic and former drug abuser. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Sheila. Sheila calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Sheila. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was calling good information. I was listening to y'all. I listen to y'all all the time.
Well, thank you so much.
I know I have a history in on my mom's side of the family as far as drinking alcohol, beer, whatever. But when I was younger, I drank wine coolers or whatever. But now that I'm older, I realize that I drink a lot of beer now. I don't do the mixed drinks and alcohol, you know, liquor or anything, but I can drink a 12-pack of beer, like, every day. And I try to base it on stress or death in the family or certain things like that. And I really want to stop this new year because this is my first marriage. I've been married 4.5 years, and basically I'm really tired. And then I just heard the doctor said that when you decide to stop drinking, you have to consult your doctor or whatever, because you could die from it. You can die from drinking beer.
Yeah.
That's my main concern.
Dr. Scharf, please go right ahead.
Yeah, so I want to say two things. I do want to say something about the last caller. To go to the VA for help, because the VA does have very good programs for substance abuse. For this caller, it depends on your own body's metabolism.
Right.
But we are always very careful to caution people that unlike detoxing from heroin, which we think of as a much harder drug than beer, detoxing from heroin has a very, very low incidence of death as a side effect. Alcohol has a higher incidence.
Right.
I would, even if you want to detox on your own and you don't have access to a detox program, sit in the waiting room while you're detoxing of a hospital so that if something does go wrong, you're already there. Go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting.
You're saying I can just, like, go to my doctor or admit myself into a hospital detox program that might, because I'm on disability now, that would accept it. And you also say call the hotline that's like on your Medicaid card or whatever for substance abuse or alcoholism.
And those mostly, not in every case, but in most cases, those do cover detox. The other place that you can go if you don't have insurance is go to an alcoholics meeting. Because if you start to have a problem, they will call emergency services on your behalf. But detox for alcohol is usually very brief. It is easily medically assisted, and even things like Medicaid generally cover the detox portion of a stay.
Daryl.
Right.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on a minute, Sheila. Go ahead, Daryl.
Sheila, the good thing about it is you live in the District of Columbia, correct?
I know they have a lot of programs here, but...
Right. In the District of Columbia, treatment is not charged to your insurance. Treatment is free. If you go to the Addiction Prevention Recovery Administration, APRA, they will do an assessment. In D.C., they do not bill your insurance at all for recovery services. The District of Columbia government will pay for everything. You can get a free assessment. They will sign you up for detox. And if it's warranted that you need additional treatment, it will be covered at 100% through APRA and not through your insurance. So you don't have to worry about coverage. What you can do is contact WHUR. I'll make sure they have the information for you to get an assessment at APRA. And that stands for the Addiction Prevention Recovery Administration.
And let me say, Sheila.
APRA, what is that?
Sheila, hold on. Sheila, hold on. Sheila, Sheila, hold on. Do you have access to the internet?
I can Google it on my cell phone.
All you have to do is Google APRADC.
APRADC.
Mm-hmm. It's at 64 New York Avenue Northeast, but it's APRADC.
DC on New York Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's Northeast.
That's correct. But Google it on your phone. It'll come up. Okay?
I appreciate y'all so much.
Absolutely. We want to see you into the new year, so thank you so much.
Yes, and I really want to stop drinking the beer because I feel like it's affecting me because sometimes, like, I wake up and I'm, like, shaky and I have anxiety attacks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll be that. This is the first step. The phone call to us. The next phone call, give APRA a call, and I'm sure you know they're open tomorrow. So thank you so much, and good luck to you. Let me go. I have a question for Dr. Scharf before I go back to the phone lines. Dr. Scharf, she mentioned beer. Talk to me about alcohol because this is the second caller who said, "Well, I'm just drinking beer," or And you know, of course, you made a reference to keeping someone from drinking whiskey if you're only having wine. But is there a difference between the beer, wine, whiskey, whether it's white Zinfandel, whether it's scotch, whether it's rum or port, whatever?
So what I was referring to with the difference between wine and whiskey is that the person may prefer one over the other.
Exactly. I remember. Yes.
The difference between different types of alcohol essentially is the concentration, how much alcohol is in it. So a shot of whiskey, is going to have the same amount of alcohol as maybe a whole glass of a higher alcohol content beer.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, I only drink beer, but they're drinking far more volume and hence eventually the same amount of alcohol, we see this tremendously in Africa. I was recently spoke in South Africa, and the problem is almost all homebrewed beer.
Mm.
It has nothing to do with, whiskey or hard liquor. So it's really just a matter of what's your preference and how much volume does it take to get the job done. By that, I mean to get loaded.
Okay. Daryl, how did you get help with your drinking? I mean, you mentioned earlier that you began to really pay attention based on what people were saying, but the actual process of becoming sober. Where did you go? Who did you talk to? What was that like?
Well, my first venture into seeking treatment was motivated by my family, who thought I had a problem and I wanted to appease them. So needless to say, that did not work. When I started having issues at work, when I could not get to work on time, when I leave work early, when happy hour started consuming more and more of my personal time, when I started to sneak alcohol, when the deception became a part of my life, those were things that I readily could see that I was doing. And at that point, I sought help. And when I went to treatment the last time, it did something. I heard something. I made a connection. I could identify with what other people were saying and going through. I didn't see myself as an exception. So I was able to open myself up to a new way of thinking and apply some different principles, and then sobriety was an option.
Okay.
Because I became open to a different way of thinking.
You said 6.5 years sober. How do you feel now?
I feel great. I can handle a lot of things that I didn't realize before were challenging. Emotional things, life challenges, health challenges, work challenges. I don't need to go have a drink after a long, hard day. I found healthier ways to deal and to cope with life. And that's what I mean when I say a different way of thinking. I've heard some of the callers refer to having a bad day or rewarding themselves, and I don't need to think in those terms. I can think of doing something different for myself as a reward that doesn't include alcohol.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Deborah, calling from Northeast D.C., what's on your mind?
How y'all doing? I'm really wondering, am I becoming a wine head? Because October, I started drinking wine, right? And so I can't seem to put it down now. I be going to get it in the morning, and then in the nighttime, I got to have some. But while I'm drinking it, it makes me sick to even do it. And I don't understand this. I don't drink liquor, and I won't drink beer, and I won't smoke no more crack. But I just got to have me some wine. Am I becoming a wine head or what?
Talk to her, Daryl, first, and then I'll have Dr. Scharf come in.
Well, I think of something that Dr. Scharf said earlier when she talked about the compulsion and the way that the alcohol will consume your thoughts. And that's what I'm hearing you say, that the thought to get it, I need to have it now, and you do it now. And that obsession is a sign or a symptom of an issue, because it might not be the physical drinking that's the problem, but the obsession, the preconceived notion of what am I going to do? I need some more. I want the next one. That's where the sickness lies, in the compulsion and the obsession and the amount of time spent thinking and planning. And I like that piece that the doctor mentioned, because that is an important when it looks at the psychological effects of alcoholism.
So what should she do, doctor?
Well, I think that she's already identified that she has a problem. There's something that we call transference, that you transfer your addiction from one thing to another. So she had previously smoked crack. Now she's drinking too much wine to the point that it makes her sick to do it. So the next stop is to say, do you want help? Do you want to get off this merry-go-round, this roller coaster of addictive obsession? And if you do, that organization that you have in Washington, D.C. is the place to call.
Okay. Deborah, did you hear about APRA?
I'm a call in tomorrow.
Oh, please do. It's and you can find it online, APRA DC, APRA DC, and I'm sure they'll be more than happy to help you on your journey towards sobriety.
And I'm gonna be more than glad to go too.
I know, okay, that's right. Well, thank you so much, Deborah. We appreciate that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Doug, calling from DC. Doug, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. I heard the doctor was telling a young man that, you know, not to just stop drinking because he can get sick. And, you know, it's like, it's nothing more powerful than the made-up mind. I remember I stopped drinking, and I had stopped for 7 years. I just woke up one morning and said, I ain't drinking no more, and I stopped for 7 years. And after that, I would only drink once a year, and that's when I went to my college homecoming. Mm-hmm. Now, I come back home, wouldn't drink for a whole another year till I go back to the college homecoming, and I did that time after time. And I know everybody is not the same. Everybody's system is different. But you got to find what works for you and work your program. But I know for me, you know, if I want to stop doing something, I just stop and that's it. But, you know, I didn't understand how when she said that, you know, don't stop, go get some help because you might get sick. I mean, I never experienced none of that.
Dr. Scharf?
So when you get so addicted to alcohol, and I don't know, you know, how much the current caller was drinking or how quickly he metabolizes alcohol, but there's a certain point where you're getting DTs, where you're getting the shakes, where you literally, your heart can just stop as a result. And so it's really about the first 72 hours for alcohol, but that's a danger. That's why, you know, I say to people, listen, if you don't have insurance, you know, and you want to stop drinking, go sit in an emergency room, because you probably are going to be okay. But I don't know that, because I don't know how much you're drinking and how it's having an effect on your body. But if you're having the shakes, in the morning, that's a really clear sign that you need help to be weaned off of alcohol. But one thing that the caller said is absolutely true. Once you have made up your mind and become determined that you want change, mm-hmm. that's going to happen for you.
Okay.
Because even if you have little slip-ups or setbacks or whatever, you get right back on the horse and you continue doing what you need to do to get to your goal. And that's, you know, so important for addiction treatment, for alcoholism recovery, is I just don't want to do this anymore, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get over it.
I need to take a break. And Doug, thank you so much, and good luck to you. I need to take a break. When we come back, more questions about drinking and alcoholism. We'll be back in just a moment. 202-319-7810. 202-319. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about drinking and alcoholism. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Scharf, you mentioned, I have another question for you, but you mentioned right before the break, you mentioned something called the DTs. For those who aren't familiar with that, what are the DTs?
So they're delirium tremens. It's the shakes, hallucinations, shaking, excessive sweating. It all goes together. But it's what you saw, you know, in movies. The sort of classic symptom of alcoholism is the shakes, especially in the morning.
I see. Jean, calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. What's on your mind?
No, just saying I could identify with the previous caller that you can set limits, and that worked for me.
When you say set limits.
I set a limit that I would not exceed 2 drinks, and I was able to do that for 10 years thus far. It doesn't mean that I'll always drink, you know, up to 2 drinks. It may just mean 1.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about just limiting your alcohol intake and not necessarily alcoholism. Is that correct?
Yes, but I think at a point I probably was going to be on that road.
Why do you say that?
Because it ran in the family, and I think I couldn't function without it. And then when I came to that realization, that's when I started to work on myself.
I see.
And
okay. Well, Jean, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. Which brings me to that next question, Dr. Scharf. She mentioned could not function without it. Give me a definition of what a functional alcoholic is. What does that mean?
Well, I think functional alcoholic is sort of a lie we like to tell ourselves. We either have a substance abuse problem that warrants treatment, or you don't. I mean, substance use disorder is really what we call alcoholism in clinical terms, and it's a continuum. So you have people who have no problem at all. They can go out on New Year's, get a little drunk. You know, they're not going to drink again probably, you know, for 3 or 4 or 6 months, right? Or you have people who, you know, drink regularly, have a little bit of wine with dinner, and then you have people who start having consequences. It's when you start having consequences for your drinking or drug use that's really where you start to have treatable issues, you know. And, you know, I loved what your other guest had to say about, you know, having people mirror back to him. You know, we're usually the last ones to know that we have a drinking problem or realize it's as severe as it is. And a lot of times, you know, if we got that information earlier in the process, we might be able to nip it in the bud and just, you know, drink occasionally. But it just progresses without us noticing it. For me, I passed out on the floor, and my grandmother was stepping over me with her walker as I came to, and I was like, wow, this is a big problem, right? I had to have that shown to me, because otherwise I could justify it to myself. A functional alcoholic is someone who believes that they are still functioning well in the world. But I think when you already are putting the term alcoholic on it, mm-hmm. there's already starting to be problems.
I want to comment on the last two callers. And one of the things that I recognize, and this is something the doctor also kind of alluded to, that not everybody, there is a continuum, and not everyone who drinks or even drinks a lot is an alcoholic. So when someone makes a statement to me, well, I drank and now I just drink once a year at homecoming, you were probably never an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Because an alcoholic, and the first thing the doctor told us is about they don't have the choice. If I open that door, there is nothing that can stop. The analogy I give is it's not about the strong mind, like that one caller said. Jump out of the airplane without a parachute and tell me how strong your mind is going to break your fall. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the alcoholic does not have that choice to stop once they start. So the last two callers, if you have that ability to control or limit, I'm just going to have one today and put it down, then by my definition, you were probably not an alcoholic, because 6 years ago, I didn't have that choice. One glass of wine.
And you were done.
It was not I was done. It's that all of you were done. You wouldn't be here. You would still be looking for your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would set off a chain reaction.
Right.
And I would have consequences. You would have consequences. The station would have consequences. You know, the doctor would have consequences, because I'm going to get everybody.
You know, it's interesting that you should mention it. I remember many, many years ago, because, you know, I have a drink every now and then. And I know, but I also know, you know, if I go to a bar or to a club or something like that, if I've had too much, you don't have to take my keys from me. I'm not moving until I know that I am completely able to drive. And if that takes too long, then, you know, if I'm with someone or what have you, then I'm going to either, you know, I'm going to have that person drive me, or I'm very, very cognizant of that. But I remember many, many years ago, back in the 90s, I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to try something different and not drink anymore. I mean, there was nothing that happened, and I just stopped. Just made a decision. I'm not going to drink it, and see what impact it had on, you know, on my health, and, you know, because I was athletic and what have you. And then maybe about a year and a half later, I had some wine, and then I, you know, kind of picked it up again. But again, I never had a problem. It was never an issue. No tickets, nothing like that. But it really makes sense when you talk about having the ability to make the decision, to have the control and not have it be problematic. You know, let me go back to the phones. Jerome, calling from D.C. Jerome, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Jerome, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
Yeah, go right ahead.
The question that I really wanted to ask the doctor was, what type of treatment or help can say, well, I drink, but I'm more so a smoker than a drinker. I'm an occasional social drinker, but I wake up every day and I smoke marijuana. And it's really, I don't know, in Washington, D.C., we voted for the legal recreational marijuana usage and medical medicinal usage. But living in the system where they continually, you know, drug test you in order to have a position that's, you know, paying over $11 an hour, but being addicted to marijuana and being held back, you know, what can be alternative routes or alternative things that someone can use to try to break their addiction from marijuana?
That's a really good question. Thank you for asking. So, you know, we're out on the West Coast, and all up and down the West Coast, it's recreational and medicinal, and everybody smokes what they want. The problem is that marijuana happens to be 10 times stronger now than it was in the 1960s, and it is absolutely addictive. There are, at the treatment center, we treat it just like we would any other addictive substance, alcohol, marijuana, heroin, cocaine. It doesn't make any difference. The addictive process is the same, because what's happening in your brain, and this is the idea of you don't have a choice, is that your brain actually changes its structure and function to make you every day seek out that drug. And so, again, call your insurance, or call, since you're in D.C., APRA. I just learned about that on this interview, and I'm thrilled that you guys have that in your area, because most places don't, and find out what is covered in your area.
Okay. Well, Jerome, I promise that I will be posting information on WHUR.com. You'll be able to find it on the Daily Drum page after 8:30, as I do with every program. And you'll also be able to hear the contents of this program in a podcast as well. So just make sure that you check us out on WHUR.com after 8:30, and some information will be there for you. Thank you so much. Before I wrap up, some final thoughts from you, Daryl, about your own journey with, you know, sobriety, you know, drug abuse, and it's so good to see you. You were here a year ago, you're here again, you look the same, and you continue to do well.
Well, the one thing that I am grateful for is that in this journey, you don't have to be alone. There are resources available to help you. That's one of the things that Dr. Scharf has mentioned. Not only are there professional resources available, there are community support services, faith-based services. And the District of Columbia is lucky to have a very large recovery community with Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous available to anyone free of charge. There are people you can contact, so you never have to walk this journey alone. Whatever you go through, be it employment, health, death, whatever you go through, there is someone in this city who has been through the same thing and has managed to get through it without drinking or using, and will help you get through it. The only thing you need to do is make the first step. And by having resources available, even that you're going to make available tonight, you're going to help save someone's life, because all they have to do is go to your webpage to get the beginning steps of how to change the trajectory of their life.
And I want to thank Dr. Scharf, too, for participating. It is just so encouraging to have so many people call in and saying that just on this program, that was that first step. That just really, really does my heart a great deal of good. And I want to thank Dr. Scharf also for joining us and helping, you know, take these people by the hand and take them through that first step. So, Dr. Scharf, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And really, no, there is hope. You can recover.
All right. And Daryl, of course, good to see you again. And Happy New Year to you both.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM.